Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, my name is Wade Burleson. Delighted to have you for our second of three services here at Emmanuel Enid. I met John, who's been coming since December, and so there are a few of you that I probably don't know personally. The majority of you were either friends or acquaintances, and this morning I'd like to encourage all of us who have ever entered into an occasion or a time in our lives where we've asked God to do something and He didn't answer our prayers. Maybe you're like the Cartwrights. You had a son who had cancer and we asked God to heal him and the Lord called him home to heaven. Maybe you've recently gone through a separation with your spouse and you've asked God to restore your marriage, but it looks as if your marriage is ending in divorce. As a pastor, I know that sometimes the greatest hurts are those associated with God not answering our prayers. When resentment or bitterness wells up within the heart, we have a tendency to turn away from our God. Even though we love Him, we turn away from Him because if He loved me, He would do what I ask. Right? So today, what I want to convince you of is this simple truth. God may not always do what we ask, but He's already done far more than we'll ever grasp. And we're going to look at the story of Jesus meeting a widow from the city of Nain. Her only son died. And they're walking outside the city gates when they come in contact with Jesus. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. Soon afterwards, the scripture says, Jesus went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now as Jesus approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now fear gripped them all. And they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." The report concerning Jesus went out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district. Now, if you're thinking as we read the text, you're probably saying to yourself, "I don't understand. Just a moment here. Didn't you just say you're going to speak to those of us who have not had our prayers answered the way we want?" Yes. In this text, the woman had her dead son raised to life and given back to her. How in the world can you encourage those of us who've not had our prayers answered from this text where a woman had her prayer answered? Great question. Let me show you. There are some extraordinary parallels between this widow's son and God's son, our Savior. Let me show you what I mean. The scripture tells us that he was an only son. In fact, if you look at verse 12 of Luke 7, the phrase that is used in the original literally means only begotten Son. It's the same phrase used of Jesus in John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Now we know that this only son of the widow from Nain was now a man. More than likely, he was the only relative she had left. And he died. Second, we find this adult son of this widow from Nain dead outside the gate. In fact, if you read Jesus approaching Nain in the text, you find that he's coming to the gate when a large crowd moves outside carrying the casket, if you will, or a blanket with the dead body on it covered, carrying the dead man outside the gate. In Hebrews chapter 13, the scripture tells us that the only begotten Son of God died outside the gate of Jerusalem. And the reason, of course, he did that is he was fulfilling the Old Testament law. The Old Covenant law for the nation of Israel said that the atonement that was made for the nation had to be made outside the camp, outside the gate of the city. So Jesus, being the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, died outside the gate. Third, he was raised for others. In fact, if you look at the text here, you find that Jesus saw the widow woman, verse 13, and he felt compassion for her. Not a word is said about the dead man. Jesus had compassion for the mother. There are two dead people in this text. There's the man who is physically dead, and then there's his widowed mother who is emotionally and spiritually dead. And Jesus felt compassion for her. So it was with the only begotten Son of God who died outside the gate of Jerusalem. He died for us. God demonstrates his own love for us, that Christ died for us. Fourth, he was offered to his mother, raised from the dead, with a command. Jesus, in feeling compassion for the widowed mother, said to her, "Do not weep." Then he raised the man, the only begotten son from the dead, and gave him to his widowed mother. Now, you'll have to take my word for it, but you could flip over in the book of Luke, and I think it's maybe Luke chapter 12, around verse 23. Jesus is going to his crucifixion. He has just walked outside the gate of Jerusalem. There's a great crowd that is following him. He is the only begotten Son of God who is going to die for us because of the compassion of God for us. And you read that as he walks outside the gate, he stops. He turns to the crowd, to the women and men who are weeping, and he says, "Do not weep." Now, the word weep here doesn't mean cry. In fact, this is a very strong word. It speaks of lamentation, of mourning, of the soul being in so much distraught that you are in convulsions, you are weeping, you are full of despair. In essence, Jesus is saying to the mother, "Do not despair. I'm giving you the Son." Now, I've said before and I'll say it again. Every earthly miracle that Jesus performed is a type or a picture of an eternal spiritual truth that should bring comfort to us. In this miracle that Jesus performed in raising the only begotten son of the widow from Nain, we find a principle that is worth each of us remembering. Again, the principle, do not mourn, for God has raised his son from the dead and given him to us. In other words, when you're in the hospital room and you're praying for the healing of your husband who is dying of cancer, and you want God to heal him, pray for it. Pray for it. But when God says no, you remember, if he doesn't do what you ask, he's already done more than you'll ever grasp. He's raised his son from the dead, given him to you, and said, do not weep. This is what Paul meant in Romans chapter 8. When in verses 31 and 32 he says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? For this reason, verse 37, in everything we find ourselves in, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in his resurrected Son. This is what Paul also meant in Ephesians chapter 2. I know your notes and the board here says Ephesians 3, but it's Ephesians 2. Listen to these three verses beginning with verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy for you, because of his great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead in your transgressions and cared nothing for him, God gave you his son and made you alive together with him when he raised him up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the eons to come he might show us the riches of his grace for us in Christ Jesus. So, your husband leaves you. You ask God to break him and bring him home. If your husband isn't broken and doesn't come home, remember this. Though God may not give you what you ask, he's done already far more than you'll ever grasp. You're in a world of hurt. You really would like the judge or the jury or the court to do something different for you. And so you pray that God would take the heart of the judge and turn it whithersoever he will. But then the judgment comes in and it's against you. Think about the son that was raised outside the gate in compassion for you. The acceptance of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the guidance of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, it's all yours. It's all yours. So in light of this, let me remind you of a couple of things and we'll be done. The greatest riches in your life are always vertical, never horizontal. Always vertical. Years ago, there was a funeral here at Emmanuel. It was a tragic death. It was only held at this church because we were the largest church. We could hold the crowd, and obviously anybody who asks will do whatever we can. I was not officiating, but I was in the back, seated up by our sound men and video men. And during that service of a wonderful man who had died, a visiting preacher from out of state walked down to the front, interrupted the service, and announced that it was God's intention to raise the dead man from the dead. I'm serious. Everybody goes stock still. The sound man turns to me and said, "What do you think of that?" I said, "Well, let me tell you something. If that guy comes out of the casket, I'm becoming a charismatic immediately." He didn't come out of the casket. It was an awful scene for about 5 minutes. Jesus raised the dead. A couple of prophets in the Bible raised the dead. They were all miracles to confirm their message. We don't need to raise the dead today because we have God's message in His Word. Could God do it? Sure He could. But I would not interrupt a worship service until I was absolutely 100% convinced that it was God's will to raise the dead. And this is what I would say to the family after that fiasco. Sure, you wanted your husband, your father, your brother, your uncle. Sure, you wanted him out of the casket. And yes, you would have thanked the Lord for His resurrection on that funeral day, like this widow from Nain got her son back. But you remember this, the reason Jesus raised the widowed woman's son at Nain was to convince you that God's son has already been raised for you. And if you don't get what you ask, He's already given you more than you'll ever grasp. So in light of this, you and I need to remember, to the degree I lack any comprehension of the riches of God's grace in Christ to me, I will measure God's love through God's answer to my prayers. In other words, if I'm disconnected from an understanding of what I have in Christ, then there's a temptation to measure the love of God based upon how He answers my prayers. I'm trying to convince you to go ahead and pray and ask God to do things in your life, but relax. Because if God doesn't answer your prayers the way you ask, He's already given you far more than you'll ever grasp. In light of this, there are two or three things, what I call steps of action for us, and I'll close with this. These steps of action need to be taken in light of the principle that God, in His compassion for you, has given you His only begotten Son and raised Him from the dead and given Him to you with this command, do not weep. Do not mourn, for God has raised His Son from the dead and given Him to you. Here are the steps of action. Number one, I will spend more time learning about the love of God for me than I will being worried whether or not He's going to answer my prayers. Now, I'll pray. But I'll spend more time in His Word. I'll spend more time in my meditation, focusing on the love of God for me in Christ. I've been writing a biography on a gentleman in our community by the name of Lou Ward for about the last year. Lou shared with me that he was, when he was growing up, he attended the First Baptist Church of Shawnee. His mom took him every Sunday. He went to training union. And when he was a kid, all he could remember was fear. He'd been told by the teachers that the judgment of God was coming, that violating the commands of God would bring the wrath of God. And all he could fathom internally was fear of God until the age of 11, when he began collecting pigeons. He would go downtown Shawnee and he would take pigeons off of the rooftops. He'd go to these electrical boxes where, in the old-fashioned signs, I mean, we're talking about the early 1940s, and he would pull pigeons out and he'd take them home. He'd built them a pen and he built them houses in his backyard there on North Hobson in Shawnee. And he said when he was 12, after caring for these pigeons for about a year, something dawned on him. He could never harm any of those pigeons. In fact, he loved them. How much more did God love him? You know, sometimes I think maybe when you're working your hobby, playing golf, fishing, sometimes when you're doing some craft making, maybe what you need to do is just pause and reflect on the vertical relationship you have with God and his incredible love for you in Christ. The fact that your sins are totally forgotten, you are absolutely forgiven, the mercy and grace of God are new for you every morning, that you are not loved by God based upon your performance. He had compassion for you even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and he gave you his only begotten Son, bearing your sins, raised him from the dead, and gave him to you and said, "Don't weep. For the next innumerable eons, I will unlock the riches of my grace for you. Don't weep." Do you know the love of God like that? Second, I will seek to come to love God's no to my request as much as I love his yes. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where, really, you need to put it in park. To whatever extent you are measuring the love of God based upon your answered prayers, the widow of Nain teaches you to love God's no. He's given you his Son. In Israel, the city of Nain is right here. This is Jesus' hometown of Capernaum. Jesus walked along this road by Nain to Jerusalem. As he passes by the entrance to the city gates, here comes the son of the widow of Nain, the only begotten son, outside the gate, dead. And the power of God raises the dead man. And God himself says to the widow, "Don't weep." And he marches on to Jerusalem, where he too would die outside the gate in compassion for others. And God commands those of us who trust him, "Don't weep." The city of Nain is still in existence. In fact, I've been to Israel on many occasions. What's interesting is they've changed the city's name from its ancient N-A-I-N, Nain, to Nine, N-E-I-N. In German, the word nine means no. Every time you pray and ask God to do something you want, you remember Nine, Israel. And come to love Nine, the no, as much as the answer you're seeking. Because God has already given you his son. So, when God doesn't do what I ask, I'll remember the widow of Nain and know that God has already done far more.